Sometimes when we come to church, we like to praise God, listen to the words of Jesus, thank Him for what He's done for us. Every once in a while, we want to look at the flip side of the coin. We have a very real adversary, and he is the devil. The words of Paul Harvey almost seem prophetic as we look around our nation today. As we look around at the violence, the trouble, the teachings, the infighting in Washington, does it make us feel safe? Or does it give you an eerie feeling of something's about to happen? We open our Bibles today to Luke chapter 17, verses 24 and following. We see that Jesus will come again. Now, the devil is the prince in the power of the air, but God still controls him. The devil can do what he wishes. He just can't take our souls if we believe in Christ. And that makes him even more furious. The Bible says he would take even the elect if he could. He can render us ineffective. He can tell us sweet lies. He can make us believe in things that we know are wrong. But he can't have our souls. He can't take us out of the hand of Jesus. We're in a battle. Don't ever forget that. As we look forward to the coming of Jesus, we know it's going to get worse. I better bring my cheater out. Luke chapter 17, verse 24. My headline says, "When Jesus comes again." Verse 24 states, "For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth into it the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." We all know that Christ was rejected by his own people. He suffered greatly. "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Now, who would have believed that since there was no rain, there was going to be a flood? They had never seen an ark, so they laughed at Noah and his sons for 100 years as he built the ark. But it got their attention when God sealed the ark and the rain started, and they were destroyed. Likewise also, verse 28, says, "As it was written in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how wicked it was. The heathen even wanted to take the angels for their own pleasure. That didn't work. But Lot and his daughters and his wife were saved. Up until the point his wife looked back. Verse 31 says, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. I have a footnote. We think that the two men together, one taken, one left, two women together, one taken, one left. We think they're believers and non-believers. My footnote said this is a reference, or not a reference, to the rapture, which will have taken place at least 7 years before the second coming. Instead, these three illustrations speak of unbelievers who are taken in judgment. Believers are left at the second coming to enter into Christ's millennial kingdom. After the rapture, we have 7 years of tribulation. During that time, there will be angels. There will be the saints, which are us. There will be humans, which can still have children. These children still have a choice to make, to accept the Christ who's sitting on the throne. We all see, we all know, or reject him. At the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan will be loosed for a short season, the Bible says. And he will tempt all he can, because he knows he's finished. He knows his destination is the lake of fire. And it's Satan's will to take everyone he can with him. But it's God's will that none should perish. We have a choice to make. Do we accept Christ, spend eternity with God? Or do we not accept Christ and give what's prepared for the devil and his minions? I know what my choice is. Each and every one of us here knows what their choice is. I don't know what Max thinks. I don't know what Mike thinks. I know I've trusted Jesus with my soul. God knows who else has. The younger people in church today, they have a choice to make, a very hard choice. Do you accept something you can't see, can't touch, can't feel? You just hear the words. Or do you accept the noise on the radio or Xbox or whatever gaming system you use? All the murder, all the rape, all the hip-hop sounds of today. It makes me wonder, who will accept Christ? Who will believe in the Lord? Who will carry the next generation through? For the last 2,000 years, somebody's always stepped up. The apostles, the believers they trained, the believers so on through the years. Now I'm up here telling you the Lord is the way, the truth, the life. It's your decision. Do you trust Christ or do you ignore the facts? We have a lot of different denominations. We have a lot of different religions. We have a lot of different ideologies. But the one that has stood the test of time, from Adam and Eve up to the birth of Christ, they believed in the coming Messiah. From the death of Christ up until the last believer in the rapture, we believe Jesus is the Son of God and He will come again for us. That's really the way of the world. From the beginning of time to the end of time, God, His Son, and the Holy Ghost. God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to think, to choose, to understand. None of the other animals have that, but mankind does. Satan will do all he can to keep us from hearing the word, from understanding the word, from listening to the word. Every time you want to sit down and look at the scriptures, the phone will ring. Somebody will knock on the door. Your boss will call. The electricity goes out. Anything he can do to stop you. But you need to persevere. Scripture says, those who wait upon the Lord shall rise as on the wings of eagles. At the rapture, those who are dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are left behind will be caught up with them to be with the Lord forever. Then we have the tribulation, where the earth will be purged. Then we have the millennial kingdom. Then we have a new heaven and earth. And that I'm looking forward to. I'm 69 years old. Most of my life's probably already gone. I don't think I'm going to live to 120. But I know one thing. When my time comes, I'll be with the Lord Jesus. I pray that each and every one of us will be there with Him. But it's still your decision. I can't make it for you. Your mom can't make it for you. Your grandparents can't make it for you. That's all on you. That's your decision. about an hour to come up with this sermon, so I think I'm going to make it short and sweet. Trust God or not, you heard what the devil's plan is. You know what Jesus' plan is. It's all your choice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message today. We thank you for sending your Son. As we celebrated his birth last week, we can see what he's done for us. But let us not forget the flip side of the coin. There is an adversary. He's very real, and he wants us. He cannot have the believers, but he can render them ineffective. He wants those who have not yet chosen, but we need to reaffirm that you are real. You are a loving God. You sent your Son. He died in our place. All we have to do is accept him. That's on us. You've done your part. We need to do ours. And we will see in the end who's right, who's wrong. We believe in the Lord Jesus. We believe we're right. We see the evil in this world, and we know that's wrong. Father, be with us, lead us and guide us, in Christ's name, amen. And I believe you changed to 434.
434.
Let's stand and just sing the first verse.
434.
434. Jesus is calling. Thank you all for coming. I hope you gleaned something from this short message. So Mike, would you close us in prayer, sir?
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us and then for your birth, Lord, of your Son. This Christmas season means so much to so many different people. We ask that you touch our lives with it to do more, do better, do your will, Lord. We ask you guide us in that process. Watch over us and give our families traveling mercies this time of year. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.